When the shadows hold the answer we cannot name. There are moments in the life of faith when the path ahead grows dim, when the questions rise like mist from cold stone floors, and the words we long for simply will not come. In those hours, the Christian heart can feel the weight of the unknown pressing close, soft as velvet, heavy as iron. What then shall we say? What words belong in the mouth of a believer who stands before mystery and finds the tongue still? The first word is quiet honesty. We do not need to manufacture certainty where none has been given. The scriptures themselves never pretend that every corner of the divine will is open to human sight. Job sits in ash and silence for long stretches before the whirlwind speaks. The disciples ask questions that receive no neat reply. Even the Son of God on the cross voices the cry of forsakenness. Mystery is not a failure of faith. Mystery is the native climate of a God whose ways are higher than ours, whose thoughts move like deep water under a dark sky. So when we do not know, we may simply say, "I do not know." There is no shame in that sentence. It is the doorway into humility. Humility is not self-hatred. It is the clear-eyed recognition that we are creatures, finite, limited, and that the Creator holds the map we cannot yet read. To admit ignorance is to refuse the false light of pretension. It keeps us from speaking where God has chosen to remain silent for a season. In a world that rewards confident answers, the willingness to wait becomes a quiet act of worship. Yet honesty alone is not the end. Alongside the admission of not knowing, we place the second word, trust. Trust does not erase the question. It places the question in the hands of the one who already knows the answer. The psalmist writes of walking through the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil because the shepherd is present. The shadow remains. The fear is refused. When we say, "I do not know, yet I trust the one who does," we are not papering over doubt. We are choosing the posture of a child who rests in a parent's care even when the night is long. This trust has a particular texture in the Christian life. It is not blind optimism. It is confidence rooted in the character of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The same Lord who entered the tomb and walked out again is the Lord who holds every unanswered question. The cross and the empty grave stand as permanent witnesses that apparent abandonment is not the final word. Therefore, the believer can sit with uncertainty without despair. The darkness is real, but it is not ultimate. Light is already broken through, and it will break through again. A third word belongs here as well, patience. Waiting is rarely glamorous. It feels more like standing in a cold cathedral at midnight, listening to the wind move through high windows, watching candle flames lean and recover. Patience is the decision to remain present to the question, rather than forcing an answer that has not been given. James tells us that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness must have its full effect. The full effect cannot come if we rush past the testing. When we do not know, we wait. We keep praying. We keep reading the old words. We keep gathering with the people of God. We let the silence do its slow work. In the waiting, we discover that not every silence is empty. Sometimes the silence is the very place where God is nearest. The cloud that covered the mountain, the thick darkness in which the Lord was said to dwell, the quiet hours before the dawn of resurrection, all of these remind us that divine presence does not always arrive with explanation. Sometimes presence arrives as presence alone. To say, "I do not know and still I remain," is to honor that reality. There is also the word of community. We are not meant to carry the weight of mystery alone. The body of Christ is designed so that one member's uncertainty can be held by another's faith and vice versa. When a brother or sister admits they do not know, the rest of us are invited to respond with gentleness rather than easy answers. We can say, "I do not know either, yet we will wait together." Shared waiting becomes a form of love. It refuses the isolation that pride prefers. In the Gothic beauty of old stone churches, in the flicker of shared candles, in the sound of many voices singing the same ancient hymns, we remember that faith is never a solitary project. What then of the times when others press us for answers we cannot give? The culture around us often treats uncertainty as weakness. A Christian who admits limits may be mocked as shallow or accused of lacking conviction. In those moments, the fourth word is courage. Courage to remain honest, even when honesty costs social ease. Courage to refuse the false security of slogans that sound strong but rest on nothing. Courage to point beyond ourselves to the God who is never confused, even when we are. The early church did not win the world by claiming to have every answer cataloged. It won the world by bearing witness to a crucified and risen Lord whose love outlasted every unanswered question. We may also speak the language of hope. Hope is not the same as knowledge. Hope looks forward to the day when faith becomes sight, when every tear is wiped away, when the partial gives way to the complete. Paul writes that now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. The dimness is temporary. The face-to-face encounter is certain. When we do not know, we can still say, one day we will. That future certainty does not remove present mystery, yet it frames the mystery with meaning. The Gothic night is real, but morning is already promised. All of these words, honesty, trust, patience, community, courage, hope, find their center in the person of Jesus. He is the one who asked questions, who waited in Gethsemane, who cried out in the darkness of the cross, and who still holds authority over every unknown. To follow him is to learn the rhythm of not knowing and still walking. It is to discover that the deepest security is not found in having every answer ready, but in belonging to the answer himself. So the next time the fog rolls in and the path disappears, do not scramble for words that are not yours to speak. Speak the ones that are true. Say, I do not know. Say, yet I trust. Say, I will wait. Say, we will wait together. Say, I am not alone in this. Say, hope still stands. And then keep walking one step at a time under the same sky that once covered the garden tomb, the same sky that will one day be rolled back like a scroll. The darkness is not empty. The silence is not final. The God who knows is nearer than the questions themselves. In the quiet stone corridors of faith, where shadows lengthen and candles burn low, we learn that not knowing can become its own kind of prayer. It is the prayer that admits limitation and therefore makes room for the unlimited. It is the prayer that refuses to settle for lesser lights and waits instead for the true light that cannot be overcome. May every Christian who stands in such a place find the courage to speak these simple, sturdy words, and may the speaking itself become an act of worship that rises like incense in the night.